The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have released us from the law and that we now belong to Christ. Help us always to love and serve you in the new life of the Spirit. Grant that we may bear fruit for your kingdom through our witness and testimony of the truth of your word. In your mercy, give comfort, healing, patience, and endurance to all who are suffering from illness, injury, or chronic affliction. Strengthen their faith so they may know that despite their suffering, they have not lost their eternal reward. We pray today for those who have requested our petitions on their behalf. We remember those who are grieving, the family of friends of Barbara Szymanski and the family and friends of Tim Bryant. O Lord, embrace us with your arms of grace and remind us of the joy of heaven and the sweet reunion that awaits. Be with those facing or recovering from health concerns, William Bullock, Lois Becker, Scott Parasol, Eleanor Ortiz, Carl Margin, Don Nettle, Christine Hall, Robert Waldron, Bob and Sue Sack, Dolores Allen, Lenore Stevens, Bob Ernewine, Roger, Pedro's father, Lois Anderson, Helen, Sue, Eric Roth, Danielle, Dan Monger, B. Curry, Don Miller, Tessa, Tim Frost, Amy, and those in hospice care, O Lord, assure them of their eternal gift. We give thanks for the freedoms of this country and those who serve this country. We'd ask your blessing be upon our armed forces and all our leaders. The flowers on the altar today given by Mary Jane and Tom Johnson in celebration of their 29th wedding anniversary and the wedding of their son, Jimmy, to Sarah recently. We'd ask your blessing be upon them. And the sanctuary lectern flowers given by the Zuliani family in memory of Karen's father, Richard. We give thanks for those who, having lived their life, now live eternally with you. We give thanks also for the ministry of the family at God's Soup Kitchen and those who sponsored from Redeemer this month, the McNaughton family and Mary Lou Mabee and the Glenn Schutz family. O Lord, we ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night which he's betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
rise? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation and our reflection this morning is recorded in today's epistle reading, Romans chapter 7. Beloved in Christ, our Lord's church even now continues its observance of the lengthy season of the church year that is well known as Pentecost season. And it's a season in which, among other things, our attention is drawn to the various accounts of Jesus' disciples taking the message of the gospel, of Jesus' resurrection from the grave, far and wide, and bringing that message of God's grace to people, to help them understand how God reconciled them to himself through his Son, Jesus. And in doing so, the disciples would have been given opportunities to share the words of Jesus that they had heard him speak into their ears. And that word is usually understood as either a word of condemning law or a word of saving gospel. And if you listen carefully today, the gospel reading recalled our Lord Jesus himself sending out the 12 disciples with their marching orders, orders that appear on the surface to have a little bit of a strange twist. Jesus said to his disciples, and I think by extension, he says this to you and me today, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Strange, isn't it? Not something you would expect from the lips of our Savior. How can this be? We might wonder. Didn't the angels sing of peace on earth, goodwill to men at the birth of our Lord Jesus in the manger of Bethlehem? I suspect Jesus' own words surprised his disciples, because earlier he had told them to say when they entered into a house where they were going to bear testimony of Jesus' resurrection, "Let your peace come on the houses that they entered into." Jesus' point to his disciples was that his coming served much like a sword in that it would in time divide families. Either you're for Christ or you're against him. Some, many, would be for him. And some, many more, would be against him. Be reminded that at the return of our Lord Jesus in glory at the end of all things, what will he as the good shepherd do? He will separate the sheep, the true believers, from the goats, those who denied Christ as Savior and Lord. In order that sin might be shown for what it truly is, namely rebellion against God, disobedience of his word, and the elevation of our own personal selves as the highest authority in our lives, the Lord God in grace gave us his holy law. One of our Lutheran church fathers, C.F.W. Walther, asserted that God's holy law actually increases sin. How does it do that? Well, it does that by telling our sinful nature what it never wants to hear, and thus raises our anger at God for giving us such directives by which we should live. The point is this, that you and I want to rule ourselves. You and I want to satisfy the passions of our sinful desires without any consequence. Desires that we often mistakenly believe will bring us fulfillment and place us in complete control of our lives and of our eternal destiny. In today's text, the Apostle Paul was being confronted by religious legalists who opposed the powerful simplicity of the gospel that Jesus came, suffered, died, and rose again for the salvation of all people. But those with whom Paul was dealing believed in and taught a works righteousness that's produced by our human efforts at keeping the law. And rather interestingly, the legalists reflect the former Apostle Paul himself, who at one time also a legalist, a zealot, one who persecuted Jesus-believing Jews and others who didn't hold exactly to the law of Moses given by God and as it was being interpreted by various rabbis. Now, maybe you wonder, what good is the law of God anyway? Aren't we intelligent enough to be a law unto our own selves? And if no one is actually capable of keeping the law, why did God give it to us? Well, God gave us his law as an act of his grace, because his law is a reflection of his divine love. And it is a means of showing you and me how he would have us live as his people, and to make us conscious of our self-centered sin and our own prideful disobedience of him. You see, as long as a person remains under the force of the law, it will continue spiritually to awaken desires within you and me as sinners that fly in the face of the demands of the law, just as it did for Adam. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis has written about the demanding and the oppressive nature of the moral law under which you and I live. And here was his observation. He said, you know, the law of gravity tells you what stones do if you drop them, right? They go that way. The law of human nature tells you what human beings ought to do and not do. He goes on to write, there's something above and beyond the ordinary facts of our behavior, and yet quite definitely real. There is a real law at work in you and me, and it's not a law that any one of us created, but it was passed on to us, and it presses on us, and it, in our opinion, hinders us. How often doesn't sin approach you and me as something soft, something sweet, something desirable? Yesterday, my wife, Kathy, and I were coming home from Grand Rapids, and we were driving eastbound in Novi. How many of you have driven that road? How many of you hate that road? Yeah, well, we were driving eastbound on a stretch of 696 yesterday, and there is a sign on regarding one of the downtown casinos. I don't know if you've seen this sign, but here's what the sign invites. Very simply, take time off for bad behavior. That's what the sign says. Take time off for bad behavior. My goodness, Satan even comes at you on I-696. It was an invitation to give in to temptation. Take time off for bad behavior. You know, the Lord reminds you and me in His Word that we have been set free from the oppressive demands of the law. How did that happen? Well, very simply, by the willing sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who Himself was without sin completely, and yet who placed Himself underneath the demands of the very law that He wrote, and then bearing the full burden of those demands, He took your place and mine under its condemnation. And then our Lord, by His death and resurrection, set you free. Set me free. His death, His resurrection set us free from everything that the law of God demands of you and me. The condemnation because of Christ is gone forever. Imagine the passion and the eventual joy and elation in the hearts of those who fought so bravely to secure our nation's freedom from the crown of England back in colonial days. No longer were they enslaved by the King of England and by his oppressive laws upon them, but rather they were inspired to form a new government, a government that they themselves created, and in which people had new and treasured freedoms. So now, as St. Paul writes, we who are in Christ are released from the law, having died in Christ to a law that held you and me captive, captive to its rigid demands. Can you keep the law as God intends for you to keep the law that He gave us through Moses, His servant? Any one of you? I cannot. But in Jesus, you and I are now given to live and serve in love and faith by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and me and who brings you spiritual life and then sustains that spiritual life in you through the powerful Word of God. We're free. We are free before God because our gracious Father in heaven has loved us with an everlasting love to the point where He gave His only begotten Son to be the ransom price to secure our eternal spiritual freedom. And so you and I today are free. We are free to keep the law of God as He has given it to us. We are free to serve one another in love and in God's grace. There's one of our Lutheran hymns that puts it in hymn verses quite nicely. The law commands and makes us know what duties to our God we owe, but 'tis the gospel must reveal where lies our strength to do His will. The law discovers guilt and sin and shows how vile our hearts have been. The gospel only can express forgiving love and cleansing grace. My soul, no more attempt to draw thy life and comfort from the law. Fly to the hope that the gospel gives, the one that trusts the promise lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice today. Give thanks to God, our Heavenly Father, today and always, because you know for you and me as His people, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That would be you. Why is that? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free. free as a child of Christ Jesus, free from the law of sin and death. Today we praise the Lord for his grace. We praise him for his mercy. And we praise him for his love. Because you see, in the end, it is for freedom that you have been set free. In the name of Jesus, God grant it for his sake. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priest and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true. Here ends the Old Testament reading for today. The epistle reading is taken from Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. Here ends the epistle reading for today.
Rise for the gospel. Holy gospel for today is taken the book of Matthew chapter 10, beginning with the 34th verse. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against their mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Here ends the gospel lesson.
Are there children here this morning? Okay. Well, then we will turn this over to a grown-up child at this point.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And our
faith is in you, my sin. O Almighty God,
merciful Father, and for the sake of the holy innocent.
Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I assure you, your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone and happy 4th of July weekend. Thank you for being with us in worship today. As always, don't forget to sign the guest card at some point during our worship service. And also don't forget coffee hour in the town square immediately following. Few announcements. October 15th is going to be a district-wide celebration for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's going to be at the Breslin Center. And if you want tickets, they're free, but you do need to request them. So we're going to order tickets. If you sign up, we'll make sure we get you a ticket. We're also looking into getting a bus for the event. It'd be a big worship celebration. Also, obviously, the Reformation starting on the door of Wittenberg. Every church, every congregation that's there is going to send a door on their behalf. And so we'll be decorating one of the many doors. We'll have a Redeemer door. I think we're doing handprints on it. My idea was beer labels. That would be perfect for Martin Luther, wouldn't it? He loved beer, but that got shot down, so we're going to do handprints. But we all want everybody to participate in that. Also, a day at the cottage, July 20th. Check that out if you're interested. And Redeemer, we have a summer camp every year, and we do have a number of needs for crafts. So check that out in the announcements. There's a list of the items we need. And also, Camp Restore. When we go to New Orleans or Baton Rouge on those little mission trips in February, we stay at a Lutheran camp called Camp Restore. And every evening, congregations in that community bring in a dinner for the volunteers who have come to work within their community. Well, Camp Restore just opened a camp in Detroit. So they're welcoming people from other states who come to Detroit to help our city out. And July 10th, we're going to cook the meal. So if you could help, check that out in the announcements. We hope to build a relationship over time and be more involved in that great ministry that's taking place in Detroit. With that, we rise for opening song.